Let's go to God in prayer and pray for His Spirit to move in our midst, to bring His good news to bear upon our hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, nothing, God, nothing can change apart from Your Spirit. God, I believe that with all my heart. I give my life to it now. I just pray, God, for Your Spirit to move, God, to convict, to convince, to transform, and help us to confess that You are Lord. So God, be in Your words, God, bring to bear, God, the weight of Your glory, God, upon the hearts of the people who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if many of you, if you came, hopefully you did, at 11 o'clock, you saw that we started our service with prayer. And people have bent my ear and said, perhaps that's not seeker friendly. And so, and I would agree that it's probably not seeker-friendly. I've noticed that it is dwindled in size, if you will. And I was talking to Robert about this, and he was like, I think that's like the most important part of our service. So just keep that in mind as I talk about why it is what it is and what we believe about what it means to confess that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I think many of you, I would even dare to say most of you, have confessed that Jesus is Lord. And when we talk about Christianity, there's like a tension. There's like a tension between, you know, like, why are you trying to make it so hard that only like certain people, like only a select few are like, you know, could come to Jesus? You know, I guess. And I would say that many of you who have confessed that Jesus is Lord may be deceived. I would say that there are maybe a lot of you, I know this is hard, hard to hear, hard to listen to, and Jesus may not be your Lord. But you did confess it, so you said it. And so you believe. But there may be deception. Because we don't want to make it unnecessarily hard to come to Jesus. We don't. We want to make sure that people receive the gospel and have every opportunity to come to Jesus. First Corinthians 12:3, the reason I bring this about is Paul says in Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Wow. Okay. I thought it was the seeker friendliness that allowed you to say Jesus is Lord. I thought that if we made it easy for people, you know, we want to entertain our youth. We want to make it easy, you know, so that they could say the prayer. We just want them to say the prayer so that our hearts would be at ease. And I promise you, as a parent, there's nothing more that would delight my ears than our child saying that Jesus is Lord. Unless he isn't. Now that's, wow. What do you mean by that? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Wait a minute, I thought if you said Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We're going to talk about, okay, what that is. So it takes the Holy Spirit to move in our midst. So right now, I pray every day that the Holy Spirit would move in our midst. I pray for you by name. Because without the Holy Spirit, you can say Jesus is Lord. But that could be because there are a lot of nice people. I will tell you, this is probably the nicest church I've ever been to. Amen? All right. And maybe your kids are having a good time. Maybe they're being entertained. You know, maybe you have a lot of good friends around here now. So if your neighbor said Jesus is Lord, maybe I want to say Jesus is Lord. But unless the Holy Spirit is moved, because what is Lord? Lord, in the context of Jesus, in every way, means Jesus is King. You're saying, Jesus, you are the master of my life. Everything that you say to me, everything you command me, I will do. Everything. That's what it means. Now, I don't know if Evan said, God, whatever you say to me, and I look at Abby as well. She's looking at Evan. I was like, oh, Evan. I'm looking and saying, okay, are we sure if God is saying, is Jesus your Lord? God, I'm not sure if I'm prepared. I want to be. Now, here's the question. Do you want to be that man or woman? There's no children in this room. In this place, everybody is at the age of accountability. Unless you're not, because I see some children, I'm sorry. But it takes the Holy Spirit. That's not, the reason is, I don't want to guilt anybody. Like, this is not that sermon. You know, it's like, well, you're not trying hard enough to make Jesus your Lord. It's not that sermon. What I'm saying is, if you can't say, God, I want to be the guy or the gal who says, yes, if you want that from me, if you want that from me, I will do it. You say forgive limitlessly, I will do it. If you say love my enemies, I will do it. Whatever you ask, I want to be that guy. I want to say yes. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't have that, and if you have conditions, if you're saying, well, I don't know, that's kind of like embarrassing. Or if you say, whatever God wants from me, I want to say, like, look, God, I'm not there, but I, whatever it takes, humble me. Whatever you got to do, do it. Utterly humiliate me if you will. Take my leg off. Whatever you have to do. Pluck my eyes out. That's what Jesus says. Whatever it's going to take to get me to say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to be. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus did not run a seeker-friendly ministry. He did not. A lot of people wanted to follow Jesus. A lot of people did. This is what Jesus says. Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. It's like, are you sure you want disciples? Yes, but Jesus is very honest. Here's the thing. We don't want to sugarcoat, okay? This is why we rely on the Holy Spirit. If you want to be a Christian, I don't want to sugarcoat the fact that you have to surrender your will to God. Now, I just said something. If the Holy Spirit is in that, okay, only if the Holy Spirit is in that, will you go, yes, I will do it. I'll give you a story. Some, many of you heard it, but we have some new people, so I'm going to tell it again. I have a dog, my beloved Penny. We got her from a shelter. Now, if you know anything about small dogs, how many people have a small dog? Wow, we don't have any small, oh, okay, all right, so you know what I'm talking about. Small dogs are scared. Now, my small dog is a Yorkie poo. Okay, don't let the poo part, okay? All right, she's small, but when I first got her out of the pound, we would take her for a walk, okay? She would bark and lunge at everything. This 10-pound little animal would be airborne, okay? You would see a German Shepherd. Like, what you gonna do with that German Shepherd, right? It would lunge in midair, okay? Jordan didn't have as much air time as Penny. You know what I'm saying? Lunge. Bark all night. We got thunder shirts. You know, we got like all kinds of gadgets to try to calm that thing down. Until I figured something out, purely by accident. There was one command only, that Penny would not obey. Because she went to dog school, we were doing everything. And so we were on the verge of returning Penny. It turns out Penny was returned a couple of times because of this behavior. One command she would not obey, and that was lay. Lay on her stomach. Now, I thought maybe she doesn't understand the command, because we definitely taught it like the other commands. Until we gave her a treat and said lay, she lay. Only for a treat. All other commands she would do without a treat. So I was like, you know what? This dog's trying to get over on this. What I figured out was that was the command for submission. For submission. So Penny and I, we had an evening. All right? I took her to a parking lot. And we're going to have it out. Because you know why? Because if this didn't work, I had to return the dog. All right? So it was life or death. And so I took Penny out to one parking lot and Caesar Milan, now this is not dog abuse, okay? There's a submission hold that he said you got to do. I don't know if you know Caesar Milan, okay? He's the dog whisperer. Then I would give the command, not an abusive time, but I would give the command, wouldn't do it, would not do it, would not do it, but was yelping so loud, I thought I was going to get arrested. So I had to go to a different parking lot. And I was doing it there, and I was looking around. I was like, okay, is this all right? And they were yelping so loud. I had to go to another parking lot. I was going from parking lot to parking lot. It was midnight. And finally, I was like, you know, Penny, lay. And you know what? It took, I think, almost 4 hours. 4 hours. And Penny lay. And there was a complete revolution. Penny became a happy dog. You hear what I'm saying? A happy dog. Content. Wasn't lunging. Right? Lays around all day now. Right? Lays around all day. Fat, dumb, and happy now. Wasn't barking at night. Especially when I'm around. Right? Now, that was a surprise. I did not realize that complete submission meant total happiness. I didn't equate that. You know what I'm saying? You think that if God is asking for you to submit to Him, right, that somehow you're going to be missing out on things. There's nothing more God wants for you than for you to be happy. For you to be blessed, to receive all that God has for you. But He must be your Lord. He must be. Now, if the Spirit is moving in that, if the Spirit is moving in that, you're going to say yes and amen. Now, what I want to do is break you of the idea you're not going to seeker-friendly people into heaven. You're not. You're not going to coax people, you know? You're not going to bribe them into heaven. Because you know why? Because this world is against Jesus. It's powerful. Unless Jesus is your Lord. Do you remember that story I told you about my mom? When I was in high school, all right, my mom used to come in those Asian pants. They're comfortable. I got a pair. God knows they're comfortable, all right? But she came in those things in our beat up car, right? In our, you know, I don't care the way I look. And I was already so self-conscious because I was the only Asian kid in the school, in high school. She would come and pick me up. I told her to come and pick me up at the back of the school where nobody was around because I was ashamed of my mom. But you know what it was? I was ashamed of myself. And then later on, I was so ashamed that I was ashamed of my mom. Do you know what I'm saying? You're ashamed of the very person that loves you the most. How shameful is that? It's pretty shameful, isn't it? And you don't want to be that guy. But you know what? In this world, people are going to shame you into shutting up for Jesus. They are. You're going to be ashamed. But Jesus, the reason why he says what he says, and he says this, Mark 8:38, for whoever is ashamed of me, because you fear man more than you're proud of God, and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation of him, will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Because here's the thing about saying Jesus is Lord. You have to want to be courageous, right? Overcoming fear, you need courage. You need courage to overcome, right? Fear. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. I remember I was at a conference. I was speaking, large crowd at the hospital, being bivocational, right? This is when I was getting started. I was bivocational. And the hospital director introduced me because I gave a talk. She liked it. She, you know, it was one of those touchy-feely kind of talks. And say, well, Henry, you know, he's a pastor and blah, blah, blah. You know what? There was a ting of little, like, shame. In that moment, I realized, wow, God, I need more of this. Like, who am I? You know, I was like, I was an undercover Christian as a pastor. God, like, God, I need your help. Don't we need his help? Don't we need his help to be courageous? Absolutely. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to say Jesus is Lord. A lot of us came to, you know, Christ and subsequently declared him as Lord. But a lot of, you know, like, just raise your hand, you know, like, and it's not like a bad thing. Look, people who want to make it easy for our children, for our loved ones, like, because we love them. Because we do. God knows we love them. And so we just want whatever we got to do. You know, they prayed the prayer. Oh, my goodness. But you know what? The early church didn't think like that. The early church was desperate for people to receive the Spirit. So here's Acts 2. And Peter said to them, this is like, people are like, okay, how do we get saved? You know, it says, repent. We talked about that last week, didn't we? Right? The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. You have to come into the experience, the presence of God, to be able to turn your life around. And then it says what? And be baptized. Every one of you. Because you know what? Baptism is the ceremony where you completely surrender your life. Now, I'm not saying that you can't surrender your life unless you go through baptism. That's like saying you can't be married without a wedding ceremony. Of course you can be married without a wedding ceremony, but that's where you get married. The reason was because when you got baptized, you publicly outed yourself. You had to be courageous because you're declaring to the world, I'm a follower of Jesus. And guess what the Jews were going to do? They were going to persecute you. Maybe the Romans would persecute you. That's why baptism, it almost sounds like, do you have to, like now it's like, well, you know, we privately, everything is just so private. It's like being a Christian doesn't require courage, overcoming fear. It doesn't require surrendering your life. It's like, oh, my private faith, you know, I believe in Jesus, like that. And we paint this picture. Like following Jesus requires immense power to overcome fear. You know what causes to overcome fear? Love. We need the love of Jesus to help us overcome fear. We're asking young people to stand up and be counted amongst the courageous. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's the helper. He's going to be with you because you can't do Jesus as Lord on your own. I often go to Jesus when I feel defeated. I know right now if you ask me to do something, I know I'm not going to be able to do it. So you know what I do now? I go to Jesus. I pray a lot for myself more now. Before I was like, okay, you know, like, God, you know, right now, there is a roadblock. You know, I don't have the strength or power to do X. I know, okay? If I go to work, okay, I know I'm not going to be able to be nice to this person. I know I'm struggling with envy. I know, okay, I'm ashamed right now. I'm weak. I need courage. I need to be bold. I need to love people. I need to forgive people. I need to stop grumbling and, all right, I need to obey my parents. I can't do this on my own. The question isn't, I can't do it or can you do it? Like you got to muster up the willpower to do it. That's not the point. The point is you have the helper. The question is, do you want it? Do you want to be an obedient son, an obedient daughter? Do you want to be a humble man? Do you want to love your coworkers? Do you want to be more patient? Do you want to be kind and generous? Because those are the commands, aren't they? And what Jesus is saying, you need the Holy Spirit to help you. Because loving God is not what we think. Loving God is obeying His commandments, which requires the Holy Spirit. So when we don't have this Holy Spirit, you know what we do? We don't obey His commandments. John 14:15 says, if you love me, because it's the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment, where all other commandments is subordinate to, is to love your God and to love your neighbor. And I promise you, you can't do that unless you receive power and strength. Power and strength through the love that's being poured onto you. And here's the thing. Because it requires power and strength to be a loving person, you're going to be the happiest person. Because you're just going to be receiving. Jesus goes on to say, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper. You know what Jesus says? It's better that I go so that I can send the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. We have a lot of followers of Jesus who actually don't follow Jesus. Agree? Yeah, yeah. Well, how do you know I'm not a follower of Jesus? Because there's nothing more important in your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, than being the most loving person you can be. Loving God with all your heart and loving others as yourself. You know what we do? We put up barriers, right? You know what? Having friends, like being close to people, you know, it's not easy, is it? It's hard, especially when people are difficult. Because, you know, a lot of people, even in our church, I'm going to be honest with you, there are some people in our church who have diarrhea of the mouth. They offend. You still got to love them, though. They say all the wrong things sometimes, don't they? You know, sometimes we think it's easy to love difficult people. That's why you got to surrender your life and receive power to love difficult people. And, you know, there's nothing more, though, amazing than loving difficult people, especially people who are in pain, and seeing the love of God free them and heal them and just care for them. And you get to be part of that. You know what I mean? You get to be the balm for their soul. You know, it's like, God, I can't believe like I'm part of this. You know, and you're like praying for people, and then people are like, you know, like there are breakthroughs that are happening. I'm just like, God. Because God loves to answer prayer in this line of work. Because he's our helper. So what are the commands of Jesus? Here's the commands. All right? Not all of them. But they're all relational. They're all relational, aren't they? Love God. Love your neighbor. Love one another. Abide in me. Come to me. Come. Like, why is it so hard to come? You know why it's so important to come? Because you got to receive. If you don't receive, you can't give. Our biggest problem is not giving. Our biggest problem is receiving. Abide in me. Come to me. Follow me. Take my yoke upon you. So God is like, come as you are. Don't try to clean yourself up. I'll clean you if you come. Because he loves you so much. Pray. Believe me. I mean, it's like, don't we understand? Like, it's the Holy Spirit. Rejoice. If rejoicing is a command, you know, there's nothing more glorious. I will tell you this. When the Spirit of God comes and communicates to me, I love you. You ever hear like your parents say, I love you, right? You know, I love you too. You know, it's like, love you, I love you more. You know, it's like, okay, let's stop. Okay? Like, nobody's gonna love my children more than I love them, right? Point is, it doesn't like, if you're depressed and somebody says, I love you, does it break you out of your depression? It does not. But when God says, I love you, oh my goodness. You ever feel the love of God? I'm not talking about up here. The Holy Spirit's job is to pour love in here. If God pours love in here, guess what? Oh, you're going to be breaking free. Depression, fear, right? I long to hear. I'm like a little kid. The older I get, the more childish I get before God. Next, we're going to talk about suffering, you know? Suffering. Because part of surrendering your life is also the idea of you becoming an athlete, a soldier, right? The question is, to be a Christian, the invitation is, do you want to be an athlete? Do you want to be a soldier for Christ? There's no athlete that doesn't suffer. But it's a good, but what athlete says, I don't want to suffer? they're not an athlete, right? If they're good at football, but they didn't suffer, you know what it is? They're good at fantasy football. You know that's right, right? Now that's a, you know, that's a lot of fun, right? But it's not the real thing. Here's the verse, right? We read this so often, so important. And this is love. What God is asking in loving him is not doing stuff for him. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. When it's all said and done, at the end of your race, at the end of all things, you're going to say, God, I didn't even love you. You just loved me. You're the one who gave me all that strength. You're the one who gave me the power. And all I did was surrender my life to you. And along the way, you loved me. How did he love us? He sent his son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, if God loved us, if he's pouring into your life, so we also then ought to love one another. You know, there's nothing more glorious and joyful than receiving, because the Holy Spirit, the command is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you know what else it says? Right? It says to be poured out like living water, poured out. The Holy Spirit comes in and then gets poured out. That is rejoicing. That is the glorious life. And here's the only thing I'm asking. Do you want that? Do you want that? Repent and then be baptized. Say your testimonies. Get out in public and say, and overcome fear in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Then raise your hand and say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be the guy. I want to be the gal, okay, who actually follows Jesus, not just be called a follower of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, without your Spirit moving in these words, without your Spirit causing us to raise our hands, say, I want to be the guy who forgives people. I want to be the guy who forgives limitlessly. I want to be the guy who loves without condition. God, I want to love my enemies. God, I want to obey your commandments because I want you to be my Lord. I want to surrender my life. I want to have courage. Courage. I want to overcome fear. But God, they need your Holy Spirit. So move, God, in the Spirit, Lord, now, so that people would turn their lives over to you, raise their hands, God, get baptized, Lord, and stand before you to say, I do. In Jesus' name.